This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, I asked you before because Jerry Snodgrass is from, he is from Upper Sandusky, Ohio. And I had asked you during that time, Anthony, do you have me, Anthony? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, wanted to make sure. I asked you during that time, why is it called Upper Sandusky when it's south? And I got several people who came in and said it's because it's the upper part of the Sandusky River. Did you know that?
I had no idea. So John Diebler never told me why.
That fixed everything for us. So I didn't know from John Diebler if that was going to be the case. So let's get to a guy who could certainly clarify that and clarify tons of other things, even though the state might not want to clarify a couple of things. Jerry Snodgrass joins us on the show. He's the OHSAA Executive Director. Find him on Twitter at Jerry_Snodgrass. Now, Jerry, I always want to call you a commissioner. You're the Executive Director, correct?
I am, and that's a result of, you know, a title change, more of an organizational change here. I don't know, maybe 5-6 years ago, it was known forever. We're about 115 years old. Not me personally, like some people think, but the organization is up 115 years old, and I believe it was called commissioner until just a few years ago. So they changed that to executive director. I'm an old school guy, too, that believes commissioner is a better title, but there you go.
Well, we always think in terms of commissioner. You've been getting the same heat as any commissioner would in any pro sports, college sports, and certainly high school sports. And I just want to start out and clarify a couple of things because I was a little bit confused myself. Now, the state had come out and said, and I heard in the press conference that, well, we're going to be closing these facilities to the high schools. So the stadiums and tracks and things like that, the baseball stadiums, that seemed to be all closed. And then I think it was last week, John Huestad, the lieutenant governor, had said, no, we never said anything like that. So I'm sure your phone started ringing off the hook from some of this stuff. What was going on with some of the confusion here?
Oh, boy, did the phone start ringing, let alone you just gave my Twitter account, and that was a wonderful period of time. You know, I heard you say earlier, you know, about Adam Silver, you know, talking about, or even the NHL restarting the season and the border closed. You know, that's problematic. We don't have borders closed, but essentially, in its own way, we do. And that's what highlights this, is that there was a lot of confusion. We told our schools from day one, but on March 16th, when everybody was forced to go home. I believe the Shutdown of School Act, the School Closure Act was signed, I believe then. But when you look back, on March 16th, everybody went home. Everybody. Everything stopped. Tournament stopped. Everything. The NCAA tournament was stopped. And at that point, we did tell our schools to be safe and to protect everything, close your athletic facilities too. And that was just to cover everything. No, we did not have any authority to do that, but nobody was going to open their – they wanted us to say that. Now, in retrospect, when they go back, oh, yeah, you never told – you know, you couldn't do that. At the time, they did, and I don't regret that. After that time, we made it very clear to our schools, and our schools would know this, that we have no authority ourselves over school facilities. So given that at that point, that did become problematic because the difference between – school sports and school days with educational part of it was very confusing to people. And we lacked a lot of control of that. So we had to just go with what was told to us at the time. And there was a lot of confusion on that. But here's the one thing I would say. When the lieutenant governor said that last Thursday, people looked back and said, we could have played our seasons. There is no way they could have played their seasons. I mean, did the MLB play? Did the NBA play? Nobody played. There were other reasons why we could not play the season when people looked back and said we could have.
Well, if you want to go into those, what are those? Because obviously we had some coaches up here. They had just finished their regional finals. They were getting ready to go on to Columbus. You had the girls' basketball tournament ready to roll. What specifically can you say? Because obviously, logically, that makes sense. If the big boys can't play, how in the world could the high schools? But if you want to go into specifics just to take care of that, what would be those specifics?
And I'm glad you asked that. You know, and we have to make decisions, and I personally had to make decisions a lot of times based upon the knowledge I have, listening to the people, listening to who we serve. Those things ranged everything from school transportation. Law requires schools to take school buses for their events. You know, when one school plays another school, they have to take a school bus. And if school buses were not available, you say, well, we had suggestions. Parents can drive them. Well, now we need to work with state law to change that and provide all kinds of waivers, so on and so forth, let alone if buses would have been available, which they were not. We have bus drivers. You know, bus drivers were not going to be working. So that was just one problem. Second problem is, while people could go backward and say differently, Monday morning quarterbacks are great. At the time, there is not a facility that I am aware of that would have opened and taken the risk to open their facilities because there were no guidelines based upon, there were no restrictions, how often you had to clean it. You could open it if social distancing. You could open it with no fans. There were none of those restrictions put out by the governor. Nobody was willing to take that risk to do it. So while people think that, no, not all those details were given down the line to every coach or assistant coach, but those were truisms, just a few of them, that prevented us. You know, and that's why we kept the spring sports, at least, well, and even winter sports, we kept them on hold for the longest time to see if anything would change that we could open up and do that. Nothing changed, so at that point we needed to cancel.
All right, Jerry Snodgrass, join us on the hotline. Yesterday at a Q&A, Greater Columbus Sports Commission, you did say if we have fall sports, what would the timetable be for you to have to make decisions? And obviously we know football is the big revenue generator. The playoffs generate 82% of, you know, your money. So what is the timetable where a decision would have to be made?
You know, the timetable that we internally have set isn't one for an all or none. In other words, there's not a date set on July 8th. I'm just making that up. But on July 8th, if nothing changes, that we will not be able to have fall sports or football. What we have done is say, okay, if we run into these certain dates, then we're going to have to adjust what we do. And we've been working on all kinds of adjustment plans, like I'm sure other organizations have done too. For example, the decision yesterday to allow skill training. Lieutenant Governor Houston, which we had a wonderful conversation leading up to yesterday, acknowledged how important skill training was for the overall health and safety of a student athlete. That was critical to give us a ray of hope for fall sports. So right now, the chance that we do have for physical training is key to us opening up the fall. If we didn't have that opportunity, and that opportunity went into July, we then were starting to talk about, okay, do we have to adjust the start of the season, and we have plans for that, to a later start. So rather than just drop dead, say, if we don't have this by this date, we have to cancel, we're trying to work with a fluidity of it, which I think we all know. This whole thing has been incredibly fluid. And I'm very glad that we've worked that way rather than, you know, put cutoff dates and then have to retract and say, okay, maybe we can do this. So ours is based upon adjustments rather than drop dead dates.
Jerry Snodgrass joining us, OHSAA Executive Director. Find him on Twitter at Jerry_Snodgrass. Well, people have already found you. I don't know if I want to say that. Jerry Snodgrass with us on the show. Well, because that leads to a couple of questions, and there's been a lot of misinformation out on Facebook. A lot of parents are on Facebook, and there's been a couple of things that, well, here's these guidelines. Like, well, no. That might not be it. And the CDC has released a couple of things. But, there's been a lot of things that have been false. So have there been discussions about, okay, if kids go back to school but they're only back in school 3 days a week or 2 days a week, what does that do to extracurricular activities? Do they have to be in school to have extracurricular activities physically in the school? How's that going to work, Jerry?
You brought up a great point that there were a lot of rumors about that clear back into the spring as to we canceled spring sports because kids were not sitting in the classrooms. That had absolutely nothing to do with it, and nor does it going into the fall. I am on a call every week with the governor's office as well as the Ohio Department of Education. In fact, the state superintendent runs that meeting, and the bulk of that meeting is all about the restart of schools. And, you know, going back, I mean, sports are obviously a part of that, and they've acknowledged that. But just the fact that kids will, I don't think kids will be sitting in the classrooms 5 days a week. That does not necessarily have any bearing whatsoever on whether we have sports or not. We can make that work with the cooperation of the schools. And I do want to say this. I have to say this. When you talk about all the rumors, one of the greatest things our schools have told us is every communication that we have had relative to changes or procedures has been communicated directly to the schools, directly. That way they know that if there's something out there circulating, now again, parents and sometimes coaches who don't receive the information from the schools directly, they develop all these rumors and they hear them and they believe them. Our schools don't, because they know that if anything is going to be changed, it's going to come directly to them. And we find that to be very, very rewarding. I go back to, I don't mean to be long-winded, but I go back to when on 9/11 that many of us remember, and I remember Donald Rumsfeld telling the camera once when asked a question about rumors. He pointed to the camera and he said, "Let me tell you about rumors. We're not going to address any of them, because as soon as we do address one, and not the others, we give rise to the belief of all the others." And we've held that philosophy to our schools. We're going to tell you the facts, and we're not going to address rumors. And I think they've really appreciated that. And that's so your comment about, you know, all these rumors, that's how they get out, but they're not through the schools.
Okay, obviously we know how big the playoffs are and fan attendance is towards your overall budget. Let's say we're fortunate enough to have high school football this year, but the caveat is no fans. What happens to the OHSAA? What happens to your budget?
It destroys it. It already has, you know, really, from what we suffered for winter and spring. And I think, you know, I don't hide ever behind this, but we took about a $2 million loss. That's very significant for us. And I think it's important to know that we are not going to put our survival or our, you know, our resurgence, if you want to call it, our return, just on the backs of our schools. We might ask for help, but we can't do that. We wouldn't do that. And it's important, I think, to note that we have laid off employees. We've really hurt people's lives. We've taken massive pay cuts. And I say massive. I think we've taken mass, including myself, one that was volunteered, that is much higher probably than the average businesses are taking. So we're doing our part. So if we don't have fall football, you know, it's twofold. The regular season, we do not derive a single dollar from those. Those are all relative, or those all assist school budgets, athletic department budgets, and they're key to the survival of those athletic programs. With the cutbacks, I think, that education faces next year in the 2021 budget, that's even going to be more alarming. A lot of people do not realize that when Lakewood takes a bus and goes to play at Brunswick, and I'm making that up, but you see four school buses taking players and you see another four buses taking the bands, somebody has to pay for those buses. And more school athletic departments are having to pay the freight on that. So without that revenue, we first of all have to look at what that does to school budgets, athletic budgets. Yes, it would hurt us with the playoffs too, but I keep challenging our staff. We really are going to have to look at reinventing ourselves. We've worked on a budget, was not prepared yet, actually two of them, one with fall football, one without, or one with fall sports and one without. Soccer's a revenue producer for schools and us as well. And 82%, you probably heard me say this, 82% of our revenue is derived from ticket sales at regional and state tournaments.
Jerry Snodgrass with us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I don't know. Can I even ask you a percentage of what you think there's going to be high school football this fall, or is that just you can't really give you one? can't really give me one.
It's a false one. I mean, if I gave you one, I mean, I will tell you that I'm an eternal optimist, just like when people talk about a vaccine, which I think we all have come to believe that, you know, the development of a vaccine is critical for us returning to any kind of normalcy. Hey, I'm an American. You know, I believe in America. I believe there are more reasons for people to develop a vaccine than probably anywhere in the world. And I believe that America will develop one sooner than a lot of people say. So given that, I'm a much greater believer that over 50% chance that we will play fall football or fall sports.
All right, as we know, a lot of the coaches, in OHSAA, basketball, football, every sport you can imagine, they have camps. It's part of their secondary income that they can help to, you know, really survive and make a living over the summer. What I'm hearing from them is they're very worried about taking that kind of risk. Is it as simple as things like a waiver, having people sign things away, or what would you advise? I know camps aren't necessarily under your purview, but what would you maybe tell them to do?
You know, I'm certainly not an attorney, you know, just like I'm a former science teacher, and that doesn't qualify me to make the scientific decisions that are being made. But personally, and from advice from our own legal area, which we have our own attorney, we don't advise for waivers. I think we're putting a risk out there that doesn't need to be taken. For the most part, our schools, again, not data-driven yet, but in general, our schools don't want to do that. That would be a decision also based upon what the school would allow. And all you run into then, all of a sudden, you know, North Olmsted, you know, maybe they give waivers, but you know, North Royalton doesn't. Now what are you going to do? You know, you've got an inequity on who can play the sport or not. So, or camps. But I just don't think schools are willing to take that risk. You've seen most colleges. I believe Ohio State yesterday canceled every one of their summer camps. So, you know, I think there are legal reasons behind that.
I'd agree. Jerry, thank you very much for the time. We know you're busy today. All the best, and hopefully we get the chance to talk to you again soon.
Well, thank you, and thank you for helping us bring all this back. We will. Thank you.
Thank you. Jerry Snodgrass joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline coming up in less than 45 minutes. Tyler Reddick will join us. Want to get to something back. What he just said coming up next. Also, this segment brought to you by Window Nation. Shop online at windownation.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.